Here we go.
This is Felger and Mass.
Yeah, Rex Ryan here.
I hate guests.
Yep.
There's no reason to touch them.
Keep it in your pants.
Why would you do that?
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Brian, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay, babe, you're on the air.
Hey, how you doing? First time, long time.
Welcome.
I just want to talk about, you guys are saying slot receiver. You guys have no faith in Edelman? I mean, come on, Amendola, we saved him for the end of the year. You know what I mean? I get it. He came through in the playoffs, but he's an injury risk. You don't think Edelman can at least produce what he produced by the time, let's say, we get to the sixth game? You don't think he can at least give us the production that Amendola gave us?
Oh, yeah. I'm not worried about the in-season production. I don't care about that. I care about, because you're winning regular season games. Maybe this ties in with the previous caller. You're still winning the division. You're still going to be in the playoffs. It's going to be, you're going to be in a tough game at some point, probably a couple of them, and the bullets are going to be flying and crap's going on all over the place, and Brady's going to be looking for someone, and I don't like it when Amendola's not there. He's made a lot of plays in that spot, a lot.
But you got to remember, Edelman was his man, though. Edelman was always his go-to guy, and I get it. He's coming off a knee injury, and he's not going to be able to cut the way he used to. I get it. But as the year goes on, you don't know, man. Edelman, like he said, I'm relentless. So you don't know, man. Faith in Edelman, man. I'm telling you, we're going to do something this year.
Oh, you're definitely going to do something this year. No one's saying you're not.
It's not an Edelman question.
And I think Edelman's, I think Edelman's going to be diminished coming back from the knee. I do, but I still think he'll be more than good enough. That's not my issue. I don't care. And again, I do like to rip the fantasy people because I feel a lot of this is born out of fantasy stuff. No one would draft Danny Amendola in fantasy, right? Because he's always hurt or he doesn't show up in the regular season. Is he a fantasy player? No. Is he? I don't know. You tell me. I'm asking you.
No, I doubt it. No.
Okay. So, but in these playoff games, man, he has been huge for you in these playoff games. Huge.
I mean, he was huge in the Super Bowl, two Super Bowls ago, and Edelman was on the field with him.
You don't make the Super Bowl this year without Danny Amendola. You don't make it. You lose to Jacksonville without Danny Amendola. 3rd and 18, coming out of your own end, down 10 points, 2 touchdowns late, tapping the toes at the end. That's Danny Amendola, and he did it against Seattle in the Super Bowl. He did it against Atlanta in the Super Bowl. He did it against the Ravens in that home divisional game in 14 when you were down 14 points twice. Yeah, that's what I worry about Danny Amendola. I'm not worried about the slot games 1 to 16. They'll figure that out. I'm not worried about that at all. I'm worried about, again, at some point these things show up. And Amendola's bailed you out of a lot of spots. I've always liked him on this team because of how Brady feels about him. Here's Anthony in Medford. Hi, Anthony.
Hey, what's up, Mike? Yeah, that earlier caller, yeah, I'm pessimistic on these off-season equations. I mean, whatever happened to the guys coming here on one-year deals for a championship and showcase themselves? Doesn't seem like matches like they're coming here anymore. I mean, you had Muhammad Wilkerson signed for sharp money with Green Bay. The Honey Badger signed for 1 year with the team would be dynamite here, Mike. And then, you know, Richardson, he got good money with the Vikings. And how about a replacement for Gronk? I mean, what if he retires? There's all tight ends out there. Ebron's still out there.
Okay, once again, you're giving me 8 things. You just want to pick one, Miss?
Well, go ahead, Mark.
There's one that sticks out to me, and that's the Tyrann Mathieu deal. 1 year deal, just short of $7 million to go to Houston. And instead, the Patriots don't take a flyer on him or even have any conversation with him, and they re-up Pat Chung. You don't think a Tyrann Mathieu is a better option at that position than Patrick Chung? Are you kidding me? Like, that one blows my mind.
Chung's not even up. I mean,
right.
When that, he had a year to go and just a, you know, a role depth piece. But that's like, that's just so typical. And then I got to have the Patriots writers tell me how smart they are against the cap. And this is why some sort of brilliant Patriots move that they're getting to Patrick Chung a year early. When they're losing good players left and right.
See, I just look at it as over the years, they have determined who stays and who goes. More often than not, it's almost always them making the decision. And I'm telling you that now, it doesn't feel like they're the ones making the decision. It feels like the players are choosing to leave. It used to be that guys would take less to come. Now it feels like they can't get guys to take less and stay. That's all. And again, I'm not telling you the season's over, it's flushed down the toilet. I'm telling you that I buy into this whole idea that there's some sort of internal conflict there, something going on within the walls at Gillette Stadium, and for whatever reason, guys who in the past were willing to take less aren't willing to do it anymore. Why?
And I think the Amendola one is really the one that stands out to me, just because it's a short-term deal for relatively short money. It was $8 million guaranteed over 2 years in Miami. $8 million guaranteed. It was 12 total, but 8 guaranteed over 2 years. So, I mean, you're talking in the range of $3-4 million guaranteed a year for a couple years to keep a guy that has won so many big games for you and is so important to your quarterback. So is that Is that Amendola not willing to take that little discount? Is it the team not willing to go there to keep him? Like,
well, they do have their value chart.
That's the one that stood out. Solder, I felt, was coming, Maz, because the numbers were going to be huge. They're going to be huge numbers, budget-breaking kind of numbers, and I just thought the Patriots were going to say, too rich for our blood.
The numbers were higher than even I thought. I mean, they were
It was a record-setting. His
numbers were huge.
Biggest numbers ever for a tackle in that league.
Okay? Should have never come to that, though.
Right, I agree. But I look at that and go, well, the Pats aren't going to bridge that gap. But the Amendola thing? Amendola.
I'll tell you, though. See, I just think it feels like guys somehow got alienated down there. Somehow. And again, Brady's a big part of it. I even think some of it probably goes back to Butler last offseason. Like, the way that thing got handled, it feels like some of the guys in the secondary were pissed off when Butler didn't get money and Gilmore did.
So do you think the Matthew Slater thing speaks to this?
I don't know. Maybe. I mean, he feels like it. That's another one.
So talk about a guy that
exactly.
You never thought, like, that's the career. That is like that. I'm trying to just come up with like the equivalent. That's Troy Brown. Like, that is. And I'm not saying I don't know why that name came to me, but just the
epitome of the Belichick
guy.
Patriot
the
guy.
Epitome of the wall-to-wall Patriot that stays here no matter what and is paid accordingly because he's overpaid to be a gunner, but he's valuable to you, and that's what makes the, you know, that whole myth, the whole Patriot storyline. Like, that's the guy. And now he might not be here.
I know. That one surprised me, too, when I saw it over the weekend, and it was further indication. And look, I feel the same way about Solder on some level, and I hear you on the money. Okay? I hear you on that. But Solder, drafted here, and look, I don't think he's a great player. Drafted here, worked hard, kept his mouth shut. You know, again, the prototype on some level of what they want guys to be. Never opens his mouth, never says boo, shows up, works hard, does his best. Okay, like, that guy shouldn't leave. He shouldn't leave in this circumstance.
Mike and Whitman, go ahead, please. Michael and Whitman.
Hey, guys. I just wanted to get your thoughts on what's going to happen when Brady retires. You know, how many guys are going to follow and jump ship? And how are they going to get people here? And do you think Belichick's going to stay to try to, you know, win one without Brady? Just seems like there's so much drama going on right now.
It does feel like there's so much drama going on. I think Bill's got 1 year left no matter what. I don't know. When McDaniels came back in the fashion he came back, I felt Bill was gone sooner than later. So that's what I think, and I think it's independent of Brady at this point. That's just...
I mean, it feels that way. It feels like this is it. It's the final roundup for Bill. You know, that raises all sorts of questions unto itself. Like, do you really want him making the calls if he's got 1 foot out the door already?
If his heart's in the right place, I want him making the calls, because he's the best. So, again, is his head on straight, or is he making moves because he likes a certain guy or doesn't like a certain guy, or is he trying to prove a point, or is he just getting his own way because... for things other than just his aptitude, which is through the roof. I want Bill making the call as long as, you know, all things being equal.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Felger. I like anti-coupon.
And Mass.
Stupid. They're so stupid.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Tom still doesn't have his contract extension. Now, I've heard rumblings that is because Brady's not a hurry to help out the team. You know, I talked about how there was supposed to be a meeting, or at least they were trying to put a meeting together around the time of the Dolphins away game. It didn't happen. You know, and now with this Facebook video, it looks like things still haven't happened. And, talking to somebody who knows what was going on with the production of this, the Giselle quote and the Tom quote at the end, there was no accident that it was set up that way.
What are we doing this for? You know? What are we doing this for? Who are we doing this for? Why are we doing this? You gotta have answers to those questions. And they have to be with a lot of conviction. You know, when you lose your conviction, then you probably should be doing something else.
These last 2 years have been very challenging for him in so many ways. And I think he just wants, you know, he tells me, I love it so much and I just want to go to work and feel appreciated and have fun.
Again, some of the drama from last week that I missed, but have caught right back up with. Thank God. A little bit of drama right there. Even that music, Murray, that you put it to start. It's not like a behind the music thing. There's really more that the first part of it.
I make sure it sounds extra dramatic.
Yeah, no, you did. It's good. I like it. It's like a cheesy docuseries right there. But I think all legit. Beatle, again, raised a point. It's like, in the first episode of Tom vs. Time, Tom says, I've sacrificed my family. Have you? Because that's what it's going to take to beat me. And he's serious about it. And again, I believe that.
I care about nothing else.
Well, no, but for you to be, for anyone to be as good as Brady has been at his vocation, something has to give elsewhere.
Yep.
So it's given elsewhere. And he says it. You got to give up your life to be as good as me because I've given up mine. I'm like, great. Perfect. That's the trade-off. I get it. You're right. But then he gets to the end of episode 6 after they lose. He says, well, you started asking about, who are you doing this for and why are you doing this and, what are we doing this for? when you lose your conviction, you should do something else. Like, where'd this come from? What happened? I've given up my life. Are you willing to give up yours?
There's a warrior spirit about me.
But what happened to that?
Till I lose the Super Bowl, I'm going to hang it up.
Or Bill yanks my trainer, and now I got to start yanking his chain. Like, so what's going on there? Just the tonality of it.
Yeah. I don't know if I feel like it anymore.
to which I said earlier, not an option. You can't trade the next guy who's ready to take over the next 10 years and then bail yourself.
Yeah, I think I'm pretty much done.
Can't do that. Does not work that way, Tommy boy. Does not work that way.
It really is an unbelievable, about face. Talk about a turnaround. On the one hand, he's talking about giving up his life and his warrior spirit. Then the season ends and it's, yeah, I don't know, maybe I shouldn't do this anymore. I've been thinking about hanging it up for a long time.
This offseason is going to be about my family, and they deserve it. There's more to think about than just me, and I think that's what you commit to when you have a family, and they commit a lot to me. That obviously goes both ways. It's a big commitment. I'm sitting here laying here 3 days after the year, getting my Achilles worked on my thumb. And you go, what are we doing this for? What are we doing this for? Who are we doing this for? Why are we doing this? You got to have answers to those questions. And they have to be with a lot of conviction. When you lose your conviction, then you probably should be doing something else.
Good God. Holy crap. I hate that. If he's just doing it to leverage the Patriots on a contract or something, fine. Play the game and do what you got to do. Like, that's fine.
Oh, I don't think it's about the contract. I think it's about getting a certain someone out of the picture.
Well, so, but if it, okay, so.
I love Murray's take on this.
If it's for something like that and it's a power play, then fine. Like I said, do what you got to do. If it's BS, it's BS. Who cares? But if he's really feeling this way, how many levels of wrong that is? If you're really feeling that way, then you never should have, pressured the team to trade Garoppolo.
Oh, it'd be one of the great dink moves of all time.
This is the whole point. They trade 10 years of their future because they're going to have, you've been saying you're going to play to 45. You've been saying 45, Tom. And we believe you because we're taking it on good faith that you've said it in good faith and we're going to take it on good faith. You want to play to 45. So at least we're going to assume 43. You haven't gotten to 41 and you're talking about spending more time with the family? No. If that's the way it was going to be, if you're worried about your kid's hockey game, as I said earlier, then we'll let you go play for someone else and we'll go with the kid for the next 10 years and reset the thing as we should have done. But if we're going to trade away the next 10 years, the next guy for 3 years of you, we don't want to hear about your family and your wife has to travel a lot. And this offseason is about my family. It's a big commitment. Getting treatment 3 days after the year on your Achilles is a big commitment. We don't want to hear this. Since when? For you, you live, breathe, eat, and crap this stuff. Now it's getting treatments, a big commitment.
Oh, it would be one of the biggest dink moves of all time. The Garoppolo thing being the first reason, but I'll tell you what, go beyond that too. Like if this, if the whole sort of narrative around the thing is right, that Garoppolo survived the draft and Brady didn't get his extension, and then it reaches the point where Brady says, well, what's going on here? Now you're kicking my trainer out? I didn't get my extension? Fine, Tom. Fine. You can still have your trainer. We'll trade Garoppolo. Then it comes time to do the extension. Nah, I don't want it now.
When you lose your conviction, then you probably should be doing something else.
I hear that, and I hear, when you hate your boss so much and it bothers you this much, I should probably do something else.
Oh, if after, whining about Garoppolo and then not getting his contract, as there were rumors last year, and then they come to him now and he says, I'm not going to redo the contract. Oh, you baby, you big dink. If that's what's going on, he's committed to them now. At least if I were Kraft, I would feel that way.
So you did all the stuff last week while we were gone, right?
Mm-hmm.
God bless you. Thank you. And thank you for doing it again, because I want it in. Who wouldn't want in on this? John in Boston. Go ahead, John.
Songer, man, you guys, and please don't hang up on me. Let me finish. You guys got to be kidding me. I mean, first of all, it was Belichick and Kraft who traded away Garoppolo. All Brady was guilty of was playing at an MVP level. So that forced him into making the decision. It wasn't Tom. And as far as I'm concerned, Brady's jumping ship because of how Belichick is behaving. He's getting rid of all these players he's getting rid of. You guys just named a ton of players, Solder and Butler and all these other guys. If they're not going to buy in and have a good team around them, why should he buy him? I think he's sick of it.
Okay, so I disagree with you on both cases. I think Brady was in Kraft's ear, at least according to people I trust like Greg Bedard have reported that out, according to multiple sources, that Brady was putting pressure, if not necessarily to trade Garoppolo, to showing me some loyalty, right? You know, I've taken all these pay cuts, we've won all these games, yet you're screwing around with my trainer, this kid's still here, why is he still here, where's my contract? And Brady sort of put the pressure on the front office, and how the front office responded was by ordering Belichick to trade Garoppolo. I believe that happened, and that's not me just coming up with that. That's been reported by people I trust. So that's just what I think you're wrong about that. The second thing was what exactly? What was the second point?
No, I don't know. He lost me.
Okay. So then we don't need to go back to it. Joe in Dorchester with a quick Red Sox thought here on a reentry Monday. Hi, Joe.
How you doing, guys? So my question was, if the Red Sox get off to a hot start and Nunez is doing good, do you trade Pedroia and try to get some draft picks and then try to flip that for Machado?
Okay, so that's wrong on so many levels because you can't trade players for draft picks in Major League Baseball. So that you can't do that. Two, I don't care if Nunez turns into Roberto Alomar. Who's going to take Dustin Pedroia?
You can't trade him. He's got full no trade rights. He's got veto power is the point.
He's also got like 4 or 5 years left at real money, and he's in his 30s, and he can't stay healthy. Who wants that?
Yeah, the other thing is, if I were them, and you've loaded up the way they have, take everybody you can get. If Pedroia comes back and you want to give Nunez a blow, then give him a blow. And you want to give Devers a rest and play Nunez at third, do that. Whatever, they'll figure it out. Don't worry about it.
Mike in Woburn with a Pats and Bruins thought. Quickly, Mike.
So first of all, on the Bruins, I actually disagree with Vegas. I think that the odds should be a little further because of their path. They have to go through probably Toronto, and they have to go through the number one contender, Tampa. Now, they've proved they can go through Tampa. They've proved they can do it shorthanded. But just their path makes me think that they're, if just from a strictly gambling standpoint, the odds should be a little longer. And by the way, the Capitals are in a little bit of a disarray right now. I don't know if you've been paying attention, but Braden Holtby lost his job to Philip Grubauer, who is, right, unlike Antti Niemi, Mike, one of the goalies that you would want to replace would want to be your starting goalie on this team right now. And I think Kuznetsov is hurt, too. So they're in a bit of a turmoil, and they're also the Capitals. So anybody assuming they're going to get out of the second round, I wouldn't put money on it. On the Cordarrelle Patterson thing, what does Bill Belichick like to do on kickoffs?
Well, he likes to kick the ball short inside the five.
Right, exactly. So Cordarrelle Patterson is so dangerous that it got Bill Belichick to pump him out of the end zone I don't know how many times in Mexico City.
Six
times. A guy who emphasizes special teams, emphasizes strategy, knows what the value of special teams. Cordarrelle Patterson got Bill Belichick to change his game plan. Why wouldn't Bill Belichick want that guy? That guy not only is dangerous if a team is dumb enough to kick to him, but also does the other thing that Bill Belichick likes to emphasize. A touchback means your team never touches it, never has a chance to fumble it, and you get it on the 25, giving it to number 12. I think it's a brilliant move by them.
Ugh, I don't think it's worth $3.25 million.
Wait a minute. If you'd rather just give the ball to Brady at the 25 and not turn it over, then why do you need Cordarrelle Patterson?
Because Mike is saying Cordarrelle Patterson forces other teams to kick it out of the end zone. If you have just some schlub back there, they'll drop it inside the five like you do.
No, I don't buy it. No.
I mean, let's just say there's some truth to it. I don't think there's any practical difference between Tom Brady starting on the 19 or the 29.
Yeah, nor do I. Brady makes up that yardage in a heartbeat.
It's one little dump to Edelman. I mean, honestly, I think, it's, I mean, maybe on a team that had a ball-controlled running game and defense and that kind of team, I think for the team that Bill has, he overemphasizes special teams. When you've got Tom Brady in the top three passing attack, it doesn't matter if you start on the 23 or the 29. It doesn't.
Well, and I would say, too, that he certainly overemphasizes kickoff returns. Because in this league now, especially the kickoff return, it's virtually, I don't want to say non-existent, but what is it relative to what it used to be? So I mean, there just aren't as many anymore.
I mean, here's Cordell Patterson's kick returns by year. The actual number of returns since he was a rookie in 2013. 43, 34, 32, 25, 19. Down every year. And he's a brilliant, brilliant kick returner. Second greatest kick returner in NFL history next to Gale Sayers. He's the second highest kick return average in league history after Sayers. That's a great stat. So I'm not telling you, like, he's legit. It's just no one's going to kick to him. So, okay, you get to start on the 25 versus what, the 20? Or, well, I don't know, I just don't think that makes a practical difference. I'd rather have $3 million and get Danny Amendola back.
Well, the other thing is if he's getting a lot of kickoff returns, that means you're giving up a lot of points. That's not such a good sign either.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz. You're listening to Felger and Maz.
Doesn't always have to be ha-ha-hee-hee.
Oh, love it.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Second and nine, pressure on Prescott, and down he goes. In the arms of Claiborne. Prescott fakes a throw, and down he goes. Claiborne makes another play. Prescott sacked. Prescott is sacked again. Claiborne again. Prescott sacked again. Guess who? Adrian Claiborne, number five. Knocked out of his hand, and that's Claiborne again.
It's a pass rusher the Patriots picked up from Atlanta late on Friday. Adrian Claiborne, six sacks against Dallas in that one game last year. Nine last year, six in one game.
Ridiculous. See, I remember we talked about this at the time. That's more of a reflection on the Cowboys than it is on Adrian Claiborne.
You think?
I mean, that's pathetic.
You remember that? They never even gave him help. Their left tackle was out, and they never even put anyone else over there.
It's embarrassing is what that is. And it's all about the Cowboys. So, will this player be any good? I don't know. Is he any good, Murray? I'll give you 10 seconds on an Atlanta Falcon.
He's okay. And if anything else, it's a good depth move, and it'll free up maybe, you know, more opportunities for someone like Trey Flowers. He's okay. He's not going to get double-digit sacks here.
Time's up. Too much time on a Falcon.
He's okay. That's it.
You know, the caller said before, you know, you don't think that this Danny Shelton and the Adrian Claiborne are going to improve your defense? Yeah, I mean, now that I think about it, I mean, I'll take them. But I don't know.
No, I have no idea. I can't even tell you that McCourty's going to help him.
Well, like, I mean, their track record, you know, recently at defensive line. Are you telling me one of these, I mean, are they going to be Coney Ealy? Completely useless. Sean Ellis, remember when they signed Sean Ellis for a year? Former Jets defensive lineman for real money? Sucked. Is he going to be Jabal Sheard, who was actually pretty good for a time and then fell off? Is he going to be Alan Branch, who like 2 years ago was a monster? Last year was a complete bum. Is he going to be... Remember when they signed Andre
Carter.
Andre Carter, very good.
And Mark Anderson.
So Andre Carter, it was another one, exactly. So Andre Carter was this veteran outside linebacker, defensive end from the Redskins. And Anderson was from like the Bears, I think. Those were good signings.
They both got 10 sacks that year, I think.
Andre Carter and Anderson, like...
How about Lawrence Guy last year? Did he really make that big of an impact? Not really.
Not really. So it's like... I mean, we just gave you almost 10 defensive line, veteran defensive line moves, signings. Some have worked out really well, some not so much, some kind of were both. And so what are Adrian Claiborne and Danny Shelton going to be?
No idea.
Oh. Somewhere in that mix. After the year, I'll tell you. And if they got it right, I'll tell you they got it right. And if they blew it, I'll tell you they blew it. But going into it, I don't know how anyone could predict it. Because they've been, you know, for every Coney Ealy, they've had an Andre Carter that actually worked out.
Akeem Hicks was a trade, right?
Akeem Hicks really worked out. That was an excellent move.
He was a monster.
They should have never let him go.
They wanted to keep him, right? And he from Chicago or something?
So that was a terrific move. Sean Ellis was a complete waste of everyone's time.
But Haynesworth, one that was a complete waste of everyone's time.
See, I think that was a flyer. I'm talking about guys that they expected to do something. Nick Anderson, tremendous move. You know, again, Andre Carter, good move.
Those two guys were good that year.
Ealy, Ellis, you know, so I don't know. I mean, I can't tell you what Shelton, I like that they're trying to acquire talent. They need it on defense, so I'll applaud the effort. Good, you need to go out and get guys like that. How are they going to work out? Not the caller, not me, not anyone knows because they've been all over the map on these. Like everybody else, you win some, you lose some.
So you say acquire talent. I say acquire players or bodies. Like, just because they're the Patriots. And this one pissed me off over the weekend, too. Like, when they, it was, I think it was the Claiborne and the running back, Jeremy Hill. I was going to say Jeremy Ellis for some reason. Jeremy Hill. In no less than 5 minutes had passed before the recurring tweets said, classic move by Patriots. Second day of the, you know, everyone else is... already made the big splashes, and yeah, here come the Pats getting all the good players. Like, you know, classic Patriots. Shut up.
Jeremy Hill, who found himself third on the depth chart of the Bengals last year behind Joe Mixon and Gio Bernard.
So, like, even Jason McCourty, do we really know if he can play?
No, he had a healthy season, decent numbers last year. That's about it.
Okay, so what we like him because he's Devin's brother? Is that the deal? Just because the name's familiar and we know that it's his brother? We're excited about a guy who's a 6th-round draft pick? That's a deal? So, like, I don't know. I don't know if he can still play.
Well, maybe that was to get Devin back on the reservation. We had a caller bring this up, and I even heard Beadle talk about it earlier today. You know, if you really want to read too much into this stuff, like I like to do right now. So, Devin McCourty, kind of outspoken after the Super Bowl, right? Showed support for Malcolm Butler. It was a little bit surprising. Maybe Devin has decided he too, is starting to question Bill Belichick and how everything is run here. Hey, we'll bring your brother in. Will that make you happy, Devin?
I like the theory.
And oh, by the way, it's a trade, not a release, so he gets to keep his contract.
Right.
What's he make? Tell me what
he's making. $3 million.
Hey. That's an overpayment for a guy who's about to be released.
And so one of the other theories, right, is that the trades don't affect the draft pick compensation they'll get from Malcolm Butler and Solder. So they'll hit.
It's because they're not free agent signings, they're trades.
Right. So you'll hit, you know, when those guys in the 2019 draft, they'll get third rounders for each of those guys.
No. Well, they're sandwiched between third and fourth.
Okay, so late thirds.
Oh, my God. Do the toadies, does the media cartel love to tell you about their comp picks? Like, who gives a flying fart about number 99 overall? Oh, my God. They do, though. Oh, they will just talk your face off about the comp pick compensation. You know, the drop.
Yeah, classic Patriots.
The formula,
movement.
Right?
It's
formula.
Classic Belichick.
Oh, God. So, again, anyway, on those D linemen, get back to me. Get back to me in week 10. I'll tell you if they worked or not. Hey, because no one knows. No one knows.
You got fat Danny Shelton in the middle of the line.
So let's try and zip through these calls. We got 5 minutes left. I got a full board as usual, so let's try and be quick, shall we? Brian in Salem, go.
Hey, Mike, how's it going?
Good, so what do you got?
You're wrong. You keep saying Belichick hasn't changed. Would Belichick from 10 years ago sat Butler in the Super Bowl? Would Belichick from 10 years ago have said, and quoted by Albert Breer, I only want to work with people who are like me now. I mean, you keep having this dialogue that Belichick hasn't changed at all when it's pretty clear that he has.
I think that's a fair question to ask. Would he have benched Malcolm Butler like that 10 years ago? Has Belichick gotten too big for his britches too? I think that's fair, caller.
It is a fair question. It's entirely fair.
I think it's fair.
Yes, I think as Belichick has gotten more... In fact, this is probably why I wouldn't call it a rift. The clash exists at all. Because as they've gone along and they both won... Absolutely. Yeah. They've all gotten bigger. And all of a sudden now they think it's more about them individually than they do them collectively, which is a mistake.
Okay, fair point. Got me. Dan and Canton. Go ahead, Dan.
Hi. I'm wondering about the replacement for Soldier at tackle. I know he wasn't amazing, but you got to think that Brady's getting older, so you don't want him to get hurt. And that's the most trusted position. I think that throwing to Edelman is amazing, and he's reliable. But what about protecting Brady? I mean, I know Soldier, maybe not.
Okay, so who's your guy?
Yeah, that's what I'm wondering, because are we losing Fleming? Are we losing Adrian?
Okay, who's your guy, folks? You know who my guy is?
The left tackle?
Yep.
Cannon.
Skarnecchia loves him. Skarnecchia's guy. He shut everybody up 2 years ago. We didn't think he could play right tackle. And he was really good a couple years ago.
So I would say, as of right now, he's the best option.
Yep. I'd rather have him than Waddle. I'd rather have him than Fleming. I'd rather have him than Tobin. Who's the guy that they signed?
Matt Tobin.
Do that on your own time, Bedard. That's for Bedard. Tobin.
I mean, they're going to draft someone, don't they? Unless it's Tony Garcia, and he's, you know, he had the...
Cannon
right now is the best choice.
Cannon fodder. Get ready for it. Jerry and Rivera. Go ahead, Jerry. What do you got?
Hey, guys, just talking about the Bruins a little bit. I love this team. They're very exciting. But when it comes to the guy in net, I can't have confidence in them. It just every time I watch a game, I'm waiting for him to poop down his own leg, literally.
Let's see. Big one for Rask. He showed you what he got on Saturday. That was a big boy kind of game.
I thought he was pretty good in that game. Again, there were some chances that were dynamite. for Tampa. He didn't make a ton of saves. He didn't have to. But there were a couple in particular that were really good.
I've said it a million times. Presuming they all come back for the playoffs, which I'm assuming they will. Okay? You've got one of the best teams in the league. You got good decor. You're playing well. You're young. You're fast. You're defensively responsible. Your coach knows what he's doing. You've asserted yourself against pretty much every team in the league over an 82-game schedule. Do not tell me you're going to get into the first round or second round of the playoffs and lose to Frederick Anderson or something like this. I don't want to hear this. There's no excuses. You haven't been overworked.
I don't love the matchup with Toronto, though. I don't.
The backup's been excellent, so you've gotten all your rest. You're going to go into the playoffs with between 50 and 55 games, which is perfect, as much as you can expect as a number one goalie. It's all lined up for you, Rask. No excuses. None.
Toronto's got a lot of forwards, a lot of fast forwards.
Alex in Framingham, go.
Hey, Mike. I have two good takes for you to explore.
Quickly.
So the first one is a little primitive, but I think Belichick holds a grudge on Brady for not taking him into TB12.
You mean Bill wants some treatment himself?
No. Brady and Kraft, they have this grand plan of opening these clinics, showing off the 40-year-old quarterback.
I like it.
Who's doing all this training.
I see. Bill wanted a cut.
Millions of dollars. Yes. Dozens, maybe hundreds of clinics.
Okay, next. Okay.
They could put Linda on the signage.
Next.
But the second one is bigger. I've been hearing of Belichick throwing in the towel. He can't. Belichick cannot leave. He knows the team is too good. What if he leaves and they win the Super Bowl?
Yeah, his legacy takes a hit there. I agree.
Oh, so right now he can't leave until Brady goes.
Because then he's the a-hole.
Right, then it becomes about Brady.
That's interesting.
Oh, I never
that
thought of
that. That is a good one.
That's a good point. Like, Belichick's legacy would take a hit if Brady won without him.
It's true.
And McDaniels? That's awesome. I love that.
Tomorrow on Felger and Nass, Mike in Norwell. Go ahead, Mike.
Hey, guys. Just a quick one. If the chance arose, Jimmy G, from some crazy reason, was available, we could trade Tom Brady for him right now. Would you guys?
Okay, I'm not going to leave that because we have one extra. I'm not. That's just too crazy. Sean in Andover. Go ahead, Sean. Sean!
Sorry. I'll make it really quick.
Get the duty out of your mouth, Sean. Come on.
Sorry. Don Yee is the shared agent between Jimmy Garoppolo and Tom Brady, right?
Yes.
Tom Brady set up the scenario for Jimmy Garoppolo to not accept the deal with the Patriots, and Tom Brady can keep his job so Jimmy G can get dealt to start with another team.
Right.
Don Yee is the agent of the century right now. I truly believe this happened with background negotiations going on. Now, the things have played out. Tom Brady is more leveraged than he ever expected. He put in his chips to control a trade on a back channel to really control his own destiny. The moves made sort of a middle ground. They've sort of done things on their own, the Patriots meaning.
Well, so, Sean, you're staying too long. I think Don Yee was an absolute factor because Don Yee could not work out a long-term deal with Garoppolo in New England. Because if Don Yee works out a long-term contract with Garoppolo in New England, Brady fires him. Brady says, Don, what are you doing? Setting up my replacement. You're fired. So Don Yee could never do it. Another reason why Garoppolo long-term in New England had some real obstacles. Agreed. The second thing you said about Brady sort of affecting the trade, I agree with, which is why he can't be talking about his family now. I don't want to hear about your kids' hockey games. Sorry, as important as they are, and as wonderful as they are.
Send the nanny. Get the nanny to take them.
Tape it. From what I understand, the people in Foxborough are not adverse to sending out the camera crews on all sorts of various missions related to youth sports. Send out the camera crew, catch it on Skype. You can't now turn into a family man after they trade the other guy. You can't do that. You need three more real years, Tom, at least.
Be one of the great dink moves of all time to be a family guy.
Here comes Final Word right after this.
You're listening to Felger and Nass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Blunt force trauma to run him right down their throat.
Felger.
I'm a hypocrite.
Mass.
Who cares?
Felger and Mass. 98.5, the Sports Hub. Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Mass's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Mass, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Final word brought to you by Town Fair Tire. If you're looking for the best deal on tires, there's only one place to go.
Town Fair Tire,
the best prices and great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire.
We're back in a rhythm today, Murray. Did you notice that?
How I've missed that.
Like a Swiss watch.
A couple of pieces of sound relating to the Celtics in the final word today. Maz crapping all over Abdel Nader for missing.
Poor guy.
Count the one, two, three, four.
plays in like five games all year.
Four three free throws in a row.
That's bad.
Abdel Nader? Missing four straight free throws. Your thoughts, Maz?
I'm with Max. I've never seen that. That's pathetic. In the NBA, that's pathetic. DeAndre Jordan, Andre Drummond, take your pick. One of those stiffs at the line would make more than that guy did last night. Four free throws in a row in an NBA game. Same guy. And, you know, not like you say, missed four free throws in a row. Two by this guy, two by that guy. This was the same guy standing there on one trip down the floor, missing four free throws in a row. Pathetic.
It really was unbelievable.
Pathetic.
After he missed the third one, I was like, well, there's no way he's going to. Oh, no, he did. Yeah, missed the fourth one, too.
Unbelievable. And look, you hear Grandy lamenting, like, why he took the tech free throw. Fine. Okay, fine. Should have been Jason Tatum or whoever, right? Fine. How about the next three? You go 0 for 3, you're a loser. Let alone 0 for 4? Oh, God, that is pathetic. I'm with Max. I don't think I've ever seen that in an NBA game.
And this negativity towards the Celtics.
Maz isn't done.
No, I'm not. Because I can say, quite literally, I can do better than that guy. I know I can hit one, maybe two out of four.
Well, you can at least match it. I mean, that I could say.
Oh, please. I can beat it. Everyone can go over. I can beat it.
That's what
it.
I mean.
Well, I can do better than that.
It's funny you say, Maz, because your negativity towards Abdel Nader and the Celtics led to this challenge. Courtesy of Sonny, who called in.
This guy.
Sonny in Charlestown. Go ahead, Sonny.
I got a question for the professional over there, Maserati. Maz, when you were growing up, did you ever play any sports? And I'm not talking about ping pong or pocket pool.
No, I played regular pool, though.
Do you have any talent at all? Can you throw a baseball? Can you throw a football?
Sonny.
Very little talent.
Starting second baseman on the Tufts JV team in 1989. I want to tell you that, okay?
Couldn't hit.
You're kidding me. Listen, I got a challenge for you. I got my son over here. He's 8 years old. I'll throw $5,000 for charity. You play him one-on-one in basketball. He beats you. You put up the $5,000. You beat him, I'll put up the $5,000. Right now, I'm putting it on record. I'll go down there with the $5,000 today.
How old is he?
He's 8 years old.
How tall?
Come over here. Come over here.
I'll beat you anywhere, anyhow, in basketball.
What's your name, kid?
Boys and girls club in Charlestown. Show up, you little midget.
Well, what's his name? I want more details on the kid. I want to know how tall he is.
If he's over 6 feet, you're toast.
Yeah. If he's a six-foot-eight-year-old, I'm hosed.
Felger and Maz.